This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to another beautiful after show. We are so pumped because the studio now has this official neon sign. If you haven't been floating around our social media recently, you won't get to see this beautiful sign, but I'll keep posting it because it's just majestic. It's probably the first time we've really had a piece of, I guess, you know, signature. This is our artwork. This is our studio. You see this anywhere, like this is My Muscle Project, but we've sort of realized it is a little bit hard to capture on video, because it's kind of this
looks
awkward.
Very different.
It's very glowy, and as a result, it's very hard to see. But cameras are pretty good these days, so I'm pretty confident that you can see our new studio. But anyway, you know, one thing I was going to bring up is you actually turned me on to this Instagram versus TikTok Business Wars podcast. What a great podcast that was!
Did you finish it?
Yeah, a little cringy, the acting where they reenact the scenes where it's like the Chinese guy. It's like, Jonathan, we have decided that...
Yeah, but that's all the business wars are like that.
Oh, okay.
They're all like recreate these scenes, but with like the same voiceover.
Yeah, it's just like, but it's like an American guy imitating a Chinese guy.
Never matters
who
it is.
Yeah, it's awful. It's like an insulting, low-key racist imitation of like the discussions at TikTok headquarters.
No, like, you know? It literally doesn't matter if it's a small girl or like some old man. They just use the same voice.
Yeah. But it was really good. What was interesting is, for me, I guess because I don't really know how TikTok... I mean, I know what a TikTok is and what it looks like. You know, you're syncing up, dancing to music, and there's other stuff as well. But what was interesting is I was dropping a lot of statistics on user data and the transition from, I guess, Instagram's audience to TikTok's audience, and why Instagram is an old social media model and TikTok is a new social media model, and how, obviously, as anyone knows, that Instagram is constantly trying to just adapt the tools that other social media platforms use. So, like Instagram, how Facebook basically is, it's not an original company. Oh, sorry, it's an original company. They don't have continuing original ideas. They now grow through acquisitions and copying other features from other apps. So, like when Snapchat was taking a portion of the market, Snapchat refused to sell to Facebook. He was like, cool, I'm just going to copy you and I'll make stories on Instagram. And obviously Instagram was new and he bought Instagram. And now with Reels, he's trying to copy TikTok, right? So he's just constantly copying the best ideas. I thought that was interesting, but how, because Instagram is an old social media model, it's not incentivizing people to invest in the same way as a creator as if they would if they were on TikTok. Because I didn't realize on TikTok, you have this feed that you always open up to. But it's like your explore feed combined with your follow feed. It's just an algorithm based off what you might like, which means in terms of getting found...
It's similar to... I think it's similar to like your Facebook feed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, which is kind of interesting because I don't know why IG doesn't adopt what works on Facebook on IG.
Yeah. In some ways, it's better, I think. Because sometimes you want to...
TikTok's better.
Yeah. Well, it's better than... Because you don't only want to see the people you follow.
That's what I mean.
You want to mix it up and find new people.
You want to see more of what you like.
Yeah, and then you might find new people to follow.
Exactly. But you can't do that through Instagram.
Exactly.
It's a lot harder. Yeah.
And well, it's so, either or. It's either new people or you're following.
And because the algorithm's becoming more sophisticated and because people are disengaging with some of the content on Instagram because it's not genuine or it's not authentic or they're just, I don't know, they're sick of the comparison game and the showing off and the Photoshop, they're disengaging more with Instagram. They're not being incentivized to use the platform more. Creators are getting less engagement. They're getting smaller followers, less engaged followers. So it's becoming tough out there. It's not that it's still not powerful, and it obviously still is. It's just it's just a more difficult game now. You have to invest a lot more. Whereas in TikTok, it's you can get a lot more bang for your buck for time. Obviously, it's a different audience. It's a younger audience.
But also, I'll say, because I've used both, is like TikTok, I think, is a lot more fun as well. Because most of it, it's nearly all entertainment.
Yeah.
Right? It's like bottom of the barrel entertainment. But it's... You know, it's more fun to make.
Right.
It's kind of more fun to like do a funny video with you and your mates.
Yeah.
Than do like serious a shirtless post about like your 2021 goals and why like, bro, you got to like set your morning routine every morning, whatever. Right? It's like a boring thing to create. Whereas the TikTok ones, I think, are much more fun. I think it's amazing. And I don't know if you should use it because some of the features they've put into TikTok are like mind blowing. Like if anyone's used it, You go onto TikTok, right? Someone sends you a link. Check out this TikTok video. You go onto it. It starts showing you the next video before your video plays.
Oh, no way.
But it seems like a... It seems
like Netflix almost?
No, you gotta actually look at this. It's not going to take long at all. it's like, it looks like an error. Like, it looks like the app is almost a little bit broken.
So, you have self-control. Look, I don't have self-control.
Click on this.
Yeah.
That's the next video.
Oh.
See how it showed you a little bit of the next video?
Yeah, yeah.
Ready? Go on.
Yeah, right.
It's crazy, right? So, it shows you a tiny bit of the next video. So, rather than like you start scrolling, you're already scrolling.
So, you actually have self-control. How much TikTok do you do a day?
I don't ever go on the app. But yeah, what see, my partner goes on the app every day and then she shows me the 6 funny videos at the end, which is amazing. It's like the 6 highlights rather than scrolling for an hour.
Mm.
But it has no pull on me because it hasn't got any messaging function and I don't post on it.
Yeah.
So, I've got nothing to check.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying. You no reason to open it up unless you know I really want to numb my fucking brain right now.
Yeah, but that's not the best for that. Like, I much prefer other stuff.
Like Netflix or YouTube.
Yeah,
or something.
YouTube is like so much better. Yeah, right? Yeah. Cool videos in there to watch, whereas it's like really is bottom of the barrel. But there is funny stuff on there.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's really interesting that the old social media models. Like, I was on Saturday night, I was at dinner with Sonny and Sonny Webster. And obviously, he's really good at social media. I think he does, but I don't think he uses it.
I really think it sucks for training. I've watched like some people's training ones on TikTok. I don't know.
It's too short,
It's just like too short. You're meant to like put it to music.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't just like always put an instructional training
video. Every video
to
is supposed to be to music?
Yeah, or you take audio clips. So say we make a TikTok.
Yeah.
People can take the audio that we made on our TikTok and use it on their TikTok.
Okay.
So like our voices.
Yeah, okay. But so would it be an effective TikTok for you and I to just post a clip of 10 seconds of us talking about something? So it'd be like, oh my God, he said this. And actually, it was, you know, fasting, not calories.
That stuff is like really boring on TikTok.
Okay.
It's not what most people do.
Yeah, okay.
Most people make funny videos to songs or to other people's audio.
And I don't know if we have the appeal to a 16 to 21 year old as we do to a 35 to 45 year old.
Nah, and it's just not the place for information.
Yeah.
Unless we want to start doing like really funny videos about, like, it could be like funny about training.
Right.
You know, but it's kind of got to be funny. And you've also got to follow the trends.
Yeah, okay. So, it's really happening, really engaged. Yeah.
Crazy.
It's not something you do on the side.
No.
Yeah. Well, no, anyway, it was just interesting. I was sort of talking to Sonny because we hadn't really sat down for a while. And I was like, you know, what was your biggest learning from 2020 from a business sense? And he was like, the one thing I realized more than ever was just double down on what you're good at and what does well. Because he was spreading himself so thin trying to make so many different programs and so many different types of content across so many different platforms because he felt like he had to keep up as a content creator. But what he realized is like, really, if I just concentrate my efforts into, say, Instagram and these types of training programs, look, the other stuff's good and you try it out there anyway, but this is the stuff that I need to double down on because this is where I get the best return. I think there's a lot to be said for that with anything, with like training, with nutrition, with sleep. We'll get to some of my sleep problems in a sec, but when it comes to training, when you have less and less time to train every day, and we've talked about this before, is you do have to double down on the 80-20 of what's going to get you the results to your goals. Mm. And at the end of the day, sometimes going into the gym, if you've got 40 minutes and you hit some heavy deadlifts, heavy bench press, you know, heavy squats, and you do like a high power conditioning workout in a short period of time on the bike, get a lot of bang for buck there. Then if you go in, you do a long warm up, you do some accessory work, like, you know, you do some handstand holds and stuff. You're not getting a lot out of that if your goal is to just kind of be in shape, maintain your physique. And that's what I imagine most of this next year is going to be like. As we're so busy with opening locker room, you and I are training. It's in a limited window. When you have 40 minutes, you know, you're going to be doing the best bang for buck stuff. And you should need to apply that logic to your work as well.
Yeah, I remember we talked about this once with James Fitzgerald from OPT10. I think he had a good one, particularly for training, which is, it's part of the problem with CrossFit training. Or one of the problems is when you focus too much on the stuff, like you really struggle at, right? Like all this different variety. You do end up spending a lot of your time in the gym just like warming up and preparing for exercises.
Yeah.
Rather than just like getting your 80-20 done.
Yeah.
You know, by the time you've like opened up your shoulders enough
for an overhead squat,
this like crazy snatch thing, you know, the other person's done 35 minutes of just like really good quality training.
Yeah.
You know, and they have like really changed. Well, their body will adapt to that training. Your body's not going to adapt very much to just these drills you did outside, just getting better at that one thing.
Yeah.
So like when you are shorter on time, you do have to do an 80-20. And sometimes really complex movements, while they are fun, if you're on limited time, you're going to make pretty slow progress.
Yeah.
Because you're spending so much time just like trying to learn these complex movements.
Yeah. And that's why I like, I've really enjoyed training. The training I do by myself now is running. And the reason I like that is because I don't have a rest period. There's not really rest period when you run.
You get so much. But also you start at the second you walk out of your door.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But also the time that if I do solo training and it's weights, I always end up on my phone.
Mm.
That's what I don't like about it. But you do want solo training because you want some alone time. Mm. But I like running because it's just training the whole time. I get my alone time and I'm not distracted by my phone, which I like. So when I'm in the gym training with training weights, I like to do it with training partners because then I'm not on my phone.
Mm.
Maybe we're wasting some time in between sets, but at least we're holding each other accountable. Like, cool, start your next set. Let's get a move on. Start this. All right, what's the workout going to be? And so a 45-minute session stays a 45-minute session.
Or you're in a class where it just has to be done.
Yeah, or you got someone else's agenda to consider. Yeah. You just can't spend 2 hours doing nothing, you know? So that's why I like that from that accountability. But obviously, yeah, a lot of people say, oh, I like exercising because I get some alone time. Like I'm reading Bob Iger's book, CEO of Walt Disney. Always trains in the morning at 4 a.m. Mm. Just because it's his time.
Fuck,
it's his
time.
Oh, dude. So early. He's got this story, right, where he's closing like one of the biggest deals of his life. And he's like, but I had committed to a triathlon and he didn't want to miss the triathlon. So before the deal, which I think he had to be in at 6 a.m. or something for this deal, he went and he did the triathlon at like 4 a.m. or 3 a.m. or some shit. He's like, I didn't want to miss it. I committed to my group, my triathlete group. So he's like, I did the triathlon. Did like the bike leg and the run leg or something. Because he rolled into the meeting, had only eaten a protein bar, and like the board was grilling him on like all these different questions, and his guts were just like so sore from this protein bar, trying to digest the protein bar after triathlon. He was so hungry that like they could hear, as they were grilling him, they could hear his stomach like gurgling. He's like, I don't know if the sounds of my GI tract was making it seem like, as they were grilling me, like I couldn't handle, you know, the situation. Yeah, yeah. I couldn't handle the stress of the situation. Yeah, yeah. Like he's hurting here. So anyway, that conversation with Sonny was interesting because we were just like, yeah, it is a good point. Like sometimes you get lost trying to keep up with everything and you lose sight of what's actually getting you the return. And I think that's what's, I guess, the trap with social media is because it's so front and center. There's so much awareness to it. You're reminded every day, fuck, should be on TikTok. Fuck, we've got to be on Snapchat. Got to be on LinkedIn. Got to be on Facebook, Instagram. If you can just kind of put that aside and think, logically, where am I getting a return here? It's like I was talking to James and Sonny. They put so much effort and time and energy into their Instagram. And I'm like, man, maybe we should do that. But I'm like, no, this is what we do. We just do it for the audio.
Mm.
You and I, they don't put... Sonny doesn't do a podcast. James does a podcast infrequently. You and I, we do all our effort in terms of content creation. It goes into this show, people that are listening right now.
And we never miss.
Yeah. It's like, that's why we can do 4 a week. Mm. They do fucking 20 videos a week or whatever. But it's like, that's where they're putting their time and effort into content. For us, we love audio. So that's what we put our time and effort into. It's just different.
Mm.
But equal amount of time, effort, strategy,
marketing,
all goes into just a different form of social media. Because I'm just waiting for the day that we get some, I guess Spotify is going to be there first, but a proper discovery platform with an algorithm for podcasts. And I know Spotify started a little bit. If you go to your homepage, it'll like suggest a podcast for you. I just hope we're being suggested to people.
Mm.
But most of our numbers aren't on Spotify, which is like why you guys listening now need to convert over to Spotify.
Well, you know what? They've really improved Spotify. Like the... Man, like more and more. Like I flick between the two apps, Apple and the Spotify one. And the Spotify one has just got better and better and better. To the point now where it's like, it is such a better experience being on the Spotify app.
Yeah. So I'm scrolling through my homepage on Spotify. It's served me my recently played. It's served me a category called Grow and Improve. So I've got Ben Greenfield's podcast here, Ed Milet Show, a bunch of different stuff, Jim Quick. I've got a hip hop thing. So that's obviously for the music, more music stuff, more music. And then I've got... What, 6th row down, tips for career success. I've got Tim Ferriss, Lewis Howes, Esther Perel. So yeah, the algorithm is working to balance in terms of, you know, a bit of music, a bit of podcasting, here, your top shows, that sort of stuff there. So it's interesting. The algorithm is working. I just don't know if people are kind of using it and engaging in scrolling down that far to search for things on Spotify.
Well, you know, I thought what I would be good, because if you put podcasting in, it's like, it's one of the social media platforms, right? You know how, we'll talk about it a little bit, but you know how in the States, they banned Trump on Twitter and they banned him on Facebook. I was like, oh, he should just start a podcast. That'd be the perfect platform for him.
Imagine listening to that podcast, bro.
Because they didn't ban him on TikTok, fun enough, but That would be kind of silly because you have to like put it to background music. That
right,
would be
right. Weird place, yeah, yeah.
To, weird place to give your daily updates.
Yeah.
But, and then also everyone would use your audio. It'd be like insane viral because then his audio everybody would use for their videos. But I was like, oh, podcasting would be a great one.
Yeah.
Be on the algorithms. You do a daily podcast.
Yeah.
Just the audio.
Yeah. Man, that is crazy what happened in America this week. Them storming the Capitol. I mean, it's truly become... I don't want to say they've lost their way, Americans, but I think there's some serious issues to start ironing out over there. I mean, look, a lot of shit's gone down in America this year, you know, to say the least. But I mean, if you've gotten to the point where your citizens are coming in with high-powered assault rifles into what is like supposed to be the most sacred building in your entire country, and they're killing people in there. I mean, what, one person died?
They weren't killing people. I think four people died.
Yeah, four or five people died.
Yeah, but they were. I think it was just like in the scuffle.
In the chaos
police.
Of it.
Yeah.
But I think really what happens in these situations, because I heard that there was like a CEO there of a tech company, like quite a big tech company.
Oh, protesting.
Yeah. Oh. But it was supposed to be a peaceful protest, yeah. Right? But he was, because they interviewed him, they're like, why were you there? What are you doing there? I was like a senator there as well, and a Republican senator. And they were like, he was like, look, you know, I'm a Trump supporter and I wanted to support him and protest peacefully. Yeah. He's like, I was just following the crowd. Next thing you knew, we were in the building. Yeah. People were yelling. A gunshot went off and it was like, fuck. Like, you just follow the crowd. And we know this about crowds, right? They've researched them and stuff when people are looting and rioting.
No, and you kind of, if the crowd's going somewhere, you're kind of like, oh, there's probably like, loud in there.
Yeah, what are we doing? Yeah. But it's just a crazy situation. Like, what a scary time it is when, you know, people live right next to that building, like the suburbs next to it. Imagine looking out the street and all of a sudden you hear gunshots and they're in the Capitol building. It's pretty interesting. I mean, my hope is that, you know, over Biden's presidency, and we're not really here, I'm not here to like judge politics because it's not what this show's about, but I just want to see what America does so well, them do more of that and hopefully start to iron out, just be more peaceful. Like Biden was saying, like bring down turn down the flame a little bit, turn down the intensity of everything and just address some of those major social issues, just in a way that's like peaceful, you know, because America is so great at so many things. They've given us so many amazing things. I don't want to lose that. Like, I love so many of the things that come out of America. Fast food, fucking podcasting, YouTube, Instagram, all that, all those cool inventions. You just don't want, that's not to say like, oh, China's going to take over and the world's going to get worse. No, we eat more yamcha, drink more tea, fantastic. I'm on board for that as well. But yeah, I just don't want to see them lose their way too much. That's all.
We'll be tough in China. I don't know if you saw, there was the, you know, it was like the famous, like the Elon Musk of China. He's like, he started Alibaba.
Oh, yep.
He made some comments, I think it was like October or November, and he kind of like criticized the government a bit.
The Chinese government?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think they're like investigating the company, whatever, for like monopoly. Okay. And he like criticized them.
Yeah.
No one's seen him since.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Been a few months now.
Shit.
So, I don't know. Like, I don't know if maybe he's in jail. Who knows, right? I don't know if he's dead, but no one knows where he is.
Mm.
And I think that was in October or November.
Yeah.
Which reminds you, like, it is a different place.
Different values.
very, very different place. Because think about how many people criticize Trump, and they're all still around.
Mm.
They don't get disappearing. It would be like if Elon Musk, yeah, I mean, he criticizes the government constantly.
Yeah.
It's like all he does
is
criticize them. Yeah, often just, you know, talking out of his asshole.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is like I was listening to Sam Harris talk about the exodus from California that's going on at the moment. It's obviously California is one of the wealthiest states in the world, but 1% of the state's 50% of the state's revenue is supported by 1% of the 1% of income earners. It might even be more. I think I got that stat wrong. It might even be like 90%. So a guy like Elon that takes his business takes Tesla out of California and puts it in Texas. At that one decision from one person, you're looking at billions and billions of dollars of state revenue. It's a very interesting...
Yeah, and it's the whole company.
Time.
But I think that was probably one of the better things of the week, if you saw, but he's like the richest guy in the world now.
Yeah.
Over
Bezos.
Yeah, and that, to be honest, that's the guy, for sure the guy you'd be stoked with to be the richest guy in the world. Because the thing about before him, it's either been like tech people or it's been like investors that have like held the richest guy in the world title. Like,
yeah, Mark Zuckerberg.
I don't think he ever had it.
Oh, really?
But like Warren Buffett had it. Bill Gates had it.
Bill Gates.
For a long time.
Bezos.
And then Bezos overtook it. But difference is with him, I think, which is...
Branson?
No.
Never?
No, never. Not close. But he, because he's invented something awesome.
Yeah.
I think that is unique if you look at the whole list. I'm like, he's really invented something really cool.
I'm team Elon.
Which is amazing. And it's not only that, but it's something that is like good for the environment in a huge way.
Yes.
So you look at it like, man, like those are the people you hope are the richest people.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah, I'm definitely more excited for Musk to be...
Rather than just like online shopping or investing in companies. Investing's probably the worst.
Yeah.
All you've done is just done really good investing.
Yeah. Well... Yeah, I don't know what how they justify their value, but yeah, you're no one of that era has created more value of that top tier than Elon Musk. You can't. He's created an electric engine of clean energy that can outpace any petrol engine, and he gave away the engineering, like the blueprint of the engineering behind it, the technology behind it, for free to all car companies.
That is crazy.
He was like, I don't care. Let's just save our planet. Here's the fucking technology.
And then how come other car companies don't bring out cars as cool?
No, I think they are. I think it's just slower to adopt because like Tesla started all electric. So it's like, we only sell electric shit. But Volkswagen's probably like, all right, well, we sell 99% petrol to shift to electric.
It's a changeover.
It's slower, you know, it's a lot slower. How can, you know, McDonald's making all their money with burgers and fries. And then all of a sudden it's like, nah, well, we've got to go to salads. Like salads are going to take a while to get popular because they do burgers and fries. They do petrol cars. It's going to take a while.
They got like farms and shit with cows.
Yeah. Like all the infrastructure, all the revenue, all the employment is built around. Imagine the deals that Volkswagen has with BP and Shell. You know, like there's definitely some deals going on there of like, you know, we'll employ you and you do this and you give us oil at this price or whatever. And it's like, you know, we'll keep the world turning on petrol. So there's a lot of stuff to undo. But you want a guy like that at the front, the richest man in the world, to be like, hey, no, we need to do things better. Like, we can do things better. Let's dig a fucking hole under LA so we can get to work faster, you know?
No, he's like, I don't want to live there anyway. Forget the whole plan.
Fuck the hole.
Actually, make the tunnel just go straight
to my way out of here. He would have pulled out of the tunnel.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Would he? Yeah. No, okay. So, I think he already had a Hyperloop to the Tesla factory from some areas of LA, but he would have probably pulled the rest of the plans, maybe. Yeah, wow. Maybe, actually. I'd just be guessing, to be honest.
I don't know.
Anyway. But, so you've started on this new tempo program on Project Strong?
Yeah, I think I'm on the third cycle of Project Strong here. We work with the coaches on getting the programs done. And this cycle I didn't write. And I don't know if you've done it before, but it's something different. Obviously, when you start at any time, you get really sore. And I've given out tempos for a long time. But I think doing this, I've realized, I'm like, oh, there's like a whole range of tempos I've never done.
Mm.
That almost like changed my mind on it. I've got one day... I go 8 seconds down on my lifts, which if you follow an actual time, it is so long. Like, my arms are short. It looks like the bar's not even moving.
Yeah. 8 seconds is long.
Squat, people think I'm injured when they walk past me.
You're stuck in slow motion.
The second option is, the other day, is you go down, you hold the bottom, and then you come up to halfway. Somebody else presses down on the bar, right? So, you get like an overload eccentric, and then you hold the isometric for 4 seconds, which again, a long time when someone's pressing down, and then you press out of it.
Wow.
And if anyone hasn't done it, just like, I think just changing up a stimulus after like years of doing like maximum 3 second tempos is like, it is a massive shock.
Yeah, you were super sore.
Fucked.
Yeah, super sore. I remember the first time we're in Dubai, that MMP trip we did to Dubai.
Oh, we had some training videos.
Yeah, and we trained at a CrossFit gym. This is the first one we trained at. I think it was maybe the first CrossFit gym in Dubai. It was just like this big empty car park, small little gym, and we did a workout, I think against Travis Mayer, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do you remember that one?
Yeah.
But before that session, we were following...
Marcus Philly's program.
Yes.
Because Marcus Philly personally programmed for like the shake.
That's right. So, we did his program, Saud's program.
Saud's program.
And that was the first time we did bench press, banded bench press. Yeah. First time. Oh, really? Well, I think I played around with it before, but the first like well-programmed banded bench press.
Had tempos, had bands.
Yeah. And I was, my chest was lit, like hard. Then I remember literally the very edge of the entire pec all the way through to where it attaches was sore the next day. And I think we were benching with one band and like 50 kilos.
Yeah, it was 50 kilos.
It wasn't much. I was super sore. And that's really just because the stimulus is different. The stimulus is different, which is why novelty is so important. I think novelty is just some of the most underutilized training tools, which is why the 4-week blocks look so different in our training programs, to take advantage of novelty. Because, if you're just like doing squat, bench, deadlift all the time, same tempo, like it's just your body adapts.
Yeah, there is so much you can do with your training. Sometimes you forget.
Yeah.
You get so stuck in the routine.
Yeah.
It's like my man, right, when training my mate that we used to train in high school. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I just do sets of 11.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you ever change it up? He's like, nah, I'm kind of an 11s guy. I'm like, how long have you been doing this? He's like, oh, like the last 5-7 years.
11 years?
Did he set 5-7 years, sets of 11.
Yeah.
He's like, ah, oh, that's fine. It's a good number, good like hybrid of strength.
You should make Dennis, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So for like 7 years, just does 11s.
Silly. Fuck stupid. And so, like, I had the experience because some of the boys have started swimming.
Yeah.
And I haven't swam, like, laps properly. Like, obviously swim at the beach or whatever. But like, all right, cool, we're going to swim a K today. I haven't done that since swim squad. And I used to swim competitively back in high school. But I'm like, I look at all of them swim. And they're, like, they're kind of, like, learning swimming, kind of like yourself for the first time. Like, they're getting some coaching. They're, like, watching videos on it. And, like, they're decent. They can swim a K, like, breaking it up over whatever period of time. But, like, I watch their swim technique. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's a guy that, like, can sort of swim. And I'm like, yeah, but I fucking used to put hours and hours into swimming every single week. And like, I've got perfect technique. I know what to do. I get in the water. It's fine. But what's interesting is like, I have no capacity in swimming. Mm. And so the novelty, it's almost like, because it's a novel effect, the benefits I get from swimming, like I reckon probably last about 3 weeks, like the real main benefits. And then if I maintain of like one swim session a week or one or two swim sessions a week, I kind of max out my benefit for the return. Because I just have done it for so long. It's like not having done banded bench press for a while. You do it for 4 weeks, you get heaps of benefit, but then week 5 to week 8, you're getting a lot less benefit. You know what I mean? So that's kind of what, when I jumped in the pool and I started swimming, I was like, holy shit, my shoulders are pumped. Yeah. Can't breathe. But by the fourth session, you know, in 10 days, I was like, oh, I got this.
Mm.
You know, like I'm losing some of the benefit here because I'm picking that, I'm through that novelty window. I'm back to a skill that I'm comfortable with. I found my rhythm again. And I'm like, oh, K is like nothing now. I'm not really getting the benefit from it. So it's interesting how novelty works.
It's how the Westside Barbell guys used to do it. Remember we reviewed their documentary?
Yeah.
They're one of like the famous strength gyms. And
sick documentary.
It was always on that. It was always be on 3-4 weeks, change the exercise.
Yeah, if you haven't watched it yet, Westside best of the world.
And then, and you know, you think, oh, how many times can you change squat bench? You can change it a lot when you include like boxes, boards, chains, bands, like everything, weight releases.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Bands going one way and then bands going other way.
Boards, like changing the range of motion, everything, right? There's like, you know, there's 30 different barbells easily.
Yeah, different equipment. Like, what's that, tsunami bar?
Many bars. Yeah. Safety squat bar, everything, right? And if you think about it, if you do something for 4 weeks, you have 30 options, 30 months. Like, it's a long time until you come back to the first one.
Yeah, and then throwing a few injuries and then it's like, cool, you got a program for life.
It's a decade.
Yeah. So, last thing before we get to listen to questions, man, I have been for, I was smashing the sleep in the holidays. I was like 8 hours, 100% sleep scores, green on the whoop. And then only recently, now this is critical error. Don't fix what ain't broke. Fix what ain't broke. So Ev, she's like, oh, you know, our Duna's a little bit old. I think I did some research, like we should upgrade to a Duna. I was like, yeah, you know, it's a bit old. Totally, I get it. That it was a cheap Duna after a while. Like you want, like the feathers get a bit gross or whatever, and it gets dust and skin in it. I'm like, yeah, let's upgrade Duna. She's like, yeah, found this like awesome like $500 like wool special thermo Duna, like perfect for summer, just what we need. I was like, yeah, fantastic, get it. Spends all this money on the Duna arrives, throw out the old Duna, big mistake.
That's
enough. Right, throw out the old Duna. It's new Duna, it's like a summer Duna. It like actually pulls heat off your body, but I like sleeping with the aircon. So what's happening is my old Duna was protecting me from the cold, but just enough so that I could sleep well. So I was like cold in the room, but I was sleeping with the Duna. Then I was like, I was warm underneath it. But this new one's like pulling heat off my body and the aircon's cooling. Yeah, I'm freezing to death, right? It's absolutely freezing. So I'm like, all right, cool. I need another blanket on top of my current Duna. So I put this, I didn't want to go too much Duna. So I put the sheet on. She didn't do anything. Right? She was useless. So I'm freezing to death. But I'm like, no, I refuse because like 20 is like my optimal temperature. It's worked for me for so many years. I'm going to keep 20. So I then go get, we got this weighted blanket. You know the gravity blanket? You ever seen that? So Ed bought that ages ago, but we weren't using it. It was just sitting on the couch. But now's the perfect time. Let's use it. Problem is, it's small. It's only like the size of this table. So you can imagine it works well if one person is sleeping under it, but two people, you don't fit. So it's like half a blanket. So it's basically coming up to my hip, to my feet, but it's so heavy that like it just feels stupid. You're like trying to move at night and like your upper body's so loose and free and freezing and your lower body is pinned down and cooked. Like it's the weirdest sleeping thing. So because I'm not used to that, I was like, all right, ditch that. Disaster, right? Then I got this new combination. I'm like, oh, cool. I put our winter Duna over the summer Duna. Then I'm like sweating my ass off at night. I go, okay,
This is all in the same night.
Hey, it's felt like it. This is all in the probably the space of a week, 10 days. Okay, I got it. I'm going to drop the temperature down of the aircon because I kind of like the feeling of the double doona. I got this light summer doona, I got the winter doona, but it's just not quite cold enough in the room. I'm going to drop the temperature to 18 degrees.
That is so cold.
Bro, I wake up the next night, the next day, my throat feels like I have triple COVID. Yeah. My throat is razor blades. My inside of my nose is so dry that like just if I squeeze my nose, it's like it burns for like 10 seconds afterwards. I'm like, I have scorched all the moisture out of my respiratory system. Like, I basically cooked myself. It comes to night, my throat's still sore. I'm like, okay, it's fine. Same setup. We'll go back to 21 degrees and like everything will be sweet. And I'll go like half doona, like half other doona, like I'll fix the arrangement. My throat's still so bad. I made it worse. I honestly consider getting
damage.
I almost consider getting a COVID test. I'm like, my nose is leaking into my mask on the bus. I'm like so sick from this aircon.
That was made you some friends.
And now I'm just stuck in this limbo position where I don't know my doona arrangement. I can't use aircon because my respiratory system, I probably sound a bit clogged, is so cooked that, man, I'm like, I can't even crack 6 hours sleep. I'm in bed 7.5, 8 hours, but I can't seem to manage because what I'm trying to do is shift my sleep schedule an hour earlier, wake up an hour earlier, go to bed an hour earlier. Man, I can't even sleep. It's full disaster mode right now. But like you were saying, get a kid and it won't even matter.
Yeah, then it's fine. I'll tell you, I got a good sleep story to match this week. I went to the gym, I trained legs, right? Had some regular leg training. And then where I sleep, in my room, we have the aircon on and stuff, but I've got Ziggy, my baby, in the corner of the room, right? In his own bed. And we're like nearby.
Oh, now he's in his own bed?
Yeah, he's in his own. Well, he goes to bed in his own bed and then at some point he wants to come to our bed.
Yeah.
Lets us know by screaming. So he starts screaming. I don't know what time it is. I don't think I've been asleep very long. It's probably like midnight. So I go get him from his bed. I'm holding him. He's getting heavier and heavier every day now.
Mm.
And then
what does he weigh right now?
He's at like 9, 9.5 kilos, right? Oh,
he's a beast.
It feels heavy when he used to be 3.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm holding him like a Zerka carry, right? So like in my elbows and I'm kneeling on the bed and I'm trying to place him on like the far end of the bed. So it's meant to be safer, right? Yeah, so closer to the wall. Anyway, as I'm doing that, my hamstrings, both hamstrings lock up, right? I get this insane cramp in my hamstring and I'm like, I start screaming. Because I think I'm going to throw him. I think I'm going to throw him across the fucking wall. Dude, it's intense cramp, right?
And I've
I'm
seen kneeling, your cramp. I've I'm seen kneeling. Cramp.
So if I extend my legs to release the tension, right, I'm like falling backwards and I'm holding him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I just dive onto the ground, right? He's like going nuts at this point. But I'm just trying to like just not hurt him. So I'm diving on the ground. I'm squeezing my quads to try and release it. Luckily, I didn't get the double cramp. That would have been...
What's the double cramp?
Well, when your quads start cramping because you're squeezing your quads to release your hamstring cramp.
Oh, never had that. Never been in that situation.
That's where I hit the deck. I used to always get that after like rugby training. But because I'd mostly trained hamstrings, so I actually had... I didn't squat. So I'd mostly just done hamstring curls and RDL. So my hamstrings were cooked. My quads were okay. So luckily, I squeezed my quads, released the tension. Obviously, my partner wakes up. She's going crazy. Like, what the hell is happening? I'm trying to tell her, I've just got a hamstring cramp.
Oh, you and your cramps, bro.
So that lost us nearly an hour of sleep.
Did you survive?
He was just like, he lost a bit of faith in me. But in the end, he survived because I protected him. I held on to him, hit the deck myself, and sorted out my cramping.
Sacrifice yourself. So you know, it's interesting how things come into your life at certain times. I was listening to Tim Ferriss, first time in a long time, and he's actually promoting a new sleep product. What it seems like is a blanket that circulates coolness in the blanket. So you know how like the chili pads, like a pad that you sleep on water. Top of.
Yeah,
I think this is like a similar thing. I think it's air though, not water, but it's the blanket, which is interesting. And he was saying, I'm trying some of these other products. Obviously, this one's paying him now, so of course he's saying that. But he's like, I've slept really well with it, and it's temperature controlled, different zones.
Oh wow!
So your partner can go in a different zone to you. I won't talk about what the product is because I want to get it for free first and then we'll promote them on the show.
And but, it's airflow.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's not the BedJet, which we've both tried. Mm. Oh, that's what I've decided I might use tonight is the BedJet.
Works well.
Bring it back out. Yeah. Just because I can't do the aircon.
It's perfect when it's hot.
Yeah. I just can't do the aircon. So anyway, all right. Before we get into listener questions, guys, of course, supporting the locker room, supporting Creature Fitness is True Coach. They're doing a great job. They've had some money injected into it. We spoke about it with Casey. It's just one of those companies that, one of the priorities for us this year in terms of, you know, separating ourselves as one of the best fitness brands and gyms available in the Australian market is using technology as a point of difference, using data like the Whip Band, and using having the user interaction with our gym from a technology standpoint really seamless. And TrueCoach is part of that. TrueCoach is how we're going to be delivering individualized programs. I know a lot of you guys are PTs out there. A lot of you are online coaches as well. You need a platform to make your client interaction really smooth. It's going to help with engagement. It's going to help with retention. And that's going to help with putting more money in your pocket, which is important. Even from the client perspective, I think you want to be on board with a coach that is using something like this, not stuck in the past with websites and emails and Excel sheets, because ultimately, that's just something that's not going to last. It's not going to stand the test of time. So definitely jump on board TrueCoach. Now is the time to improve the user experience. You guys get a 2-week free trial and 20% off the next month when you go to truecoach.co/MMP. truecoach.co/MMP.
Okay, first question, we have Chris Mortimer asking the question. So he says he's followed a few CrossFit programs. He then lists basically every single CrossFit program you can do. And he says, for brief periods, and I always remember to make zero progress. I look on Instagram, see other people like me with roughly the same capacity and strength doing better in these different lifts, and I question if the program is right for me. I think people refer to this as the shiny object syndrome. I've now started getting coached individually and want to know from you guys on how we can stay focused on the goal and keep following the program he's now paying for. Do I delete Instagram like you were discussing or do something else?
Yeah. So Chris and I spoke in my DMs, so I think you sent that question to the podcast and he sent it to me. Did he send it to you?
No, I just seen it
okay. I basically said that it seems like, and I think a lot of people fall for this, and I'm sure I did it at some point, when you are competing in a sport or you can, you know, you're doing something which is very measurable in terms of your progress and your results, and it's very comparable, whether that's running, whether that's, I don't know, it's kind of hard to compare basketball in some way unless you're playing games every week and you've got stats. But when you can make that comparison, and obviously CrossFit's a great one to do it for, so many workouts, so many lifts, and you follow certain people, yeah, it can be fucking disheartening. Opening Instagram every day, feeling like you're giving your 100%, and then let some guy who weighs 20 kilos less than you snatching your clean and jerk. You're like, well, I'm a piece of shit. Mm. And so it does become a very dangerous comparison game because it becomes very disheartening. And you lose sight of what's important, which is just your own progress. It doesn't matter what other people are doing. Other people will always do what other people will do. You have no control over that. There will always be some tiny Asian kid in Asia snatching 140 kilos at 25 kilos body weight. There is nothing you can do to affect that, all right? So what you have to realize is you're running your own race when it comes to your own health and fitness. Different when you're going into and you're trying to compete with someone. Like, yeah, you want that to push yourself. But day to day, it doesn't matter what other people are doing. So I'd suggest, which what I've done recently, if you struggle with this stuff, please either delete Instagram or mute people or unfollow them, because the price of, when you're weighing up pros and cons, the price of your happiness and how you feel about your own training, it's not worth training for anything.
Yeah, I'll give you a good recommendation. This is exactly what you said. So there's a book, I don't know if you've heard of it, it's called Will It Make the Boat Go Faster? You ever heard of it?
No.
So it was a... like this guy won Olympic gold in a boat, right? And it's like 8 people rowing. It was actually the Sydney Olympics in 2000.
Was he American?
No, I think they're UK. And the whole story was because like they very rarely win medals, and they just had this really good coach, and they had this like 4-year philosophy of will it make the boat go faster? So it was like every single decision they would have was like, will it make the boat go faster, right? And this would be down to like which hotel they choose to stay at. Like, is it going to be a better sleep? Is it going to make the boat go faster, right? Should we go out, get beers? Will it make the boat go faster? Probably not. Not going to do it. Anyway, it's like really popular, it's really well known. You can Google it, and like, because it was a crazy win, like they hadn't won for like whatever 100 years in this. I mean, I think in some ways it's like that with your training as well. It's like, hey, it's either making it worse or making it better. So like Instagram's distracting, before you just decide, is it worse or better? Because nothing is neutral. And if you're like, oh, it's obviously worse, then can it if it's important to you?
Yeah, it's the net effect of it, right? Because yeah, there's pros and cons of Instagram, but the net effect of Instagram
for your training,
and this is probably worse. In this situation is negative. Yeah, in his context, it
so sounds pretty like. Simple.
Yeah, so I gave Chris the advice to delete Instagram. He came back a week later and he said, it's the best fucking...
But
best
how? He DMs happened. You on Instagram.
No, he reinstalled it and he's like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, it's fucking sick. It's been the best thing I've ever done. He's like, I'm deleting it. Like, permanently now.
Farewell.
So good. Sign on.
Okay, the Brace Up Coach. It's a good one. Talking about alcohol and training. So, he doesn't drink often, but when I do, I was wondering...
I get lit.
That's what he's going to say. But when I do, I'll fucking send it. Kill myself.
I somehow end up in hospital.
I was wondering, is there a best way to plan your training around nights out? I've heard research saying that if you train before consuming alcohol, it will stop slash reduce the benefits of that training session. So is it best to have a rest day before a night out and train the next day, even though you're hungover, or the other way around?
Yeah, this is good. I give advice on this all the time because it seems like a large population at our gym slash all of
I think that's
gym.
Just life in general. People drink.
Drink a lot. Yeah, so the way I think of it is there is multiple stresses on the body. Training is one of those stresses. Drinking is one of those stresses. Obviously, one's a good stress, one's a bad stress. One stress, if you do it long term, you get an adaptation like liver disease, which is not good. One stress, like training, you get good adaptations like increased muscle mass, decreased body fat, healthier heart, etc. So what happens though is there is a recovery process after you stress your body. If you add too many stresses in one day, your body can't recover and ultimately you end up in more of a hole than where you started. So when I train hard, I now have to spend the rest of the day recovering and allocating resources to benefit from that training by recovering so I can adapt, have a positive adaptation to that session. It's like if you train too much, you have a negative adaptation to the session. Your negative adaptation would be you get GI distress, you get an injury, you get excess chronic inflammation. So all these negative things compiled together because too much stress here, negative adaptation. And that is what I would say is happening when you're compiling drinking and training in the same day. So I know obviously you can help to offset some of the calories of drinking, the negative effects of drinking heavily, by doing some training in the morning. That's the logic, right? People are like, fuck, I'm going to smash myself tonight. I'm going to feel guilty about it. So I'm going to train really, really hard in the morning in preparation for the evening. But that's the wrong logic because you're ultimately digging two really deep holes that you're not going to fill in, and you're going to feel worse the next day. Your body's trying to repair muscle tissue. It's trying to repair bone damage and CNS stress, and then you're sleep depriving it and you're poisoning your body. It's terrible. So instead, what you should do is, yes, I still think the logic applies. You want to help to offset what you're going to do drinking. So what I suggest is, one, if you can, push the drinking into the day. So start earlier so that you're not drinking when you should be asleep. I think we talked about this last week. And then the first thing, and then the second thing, is that I would just change whatever my morning session is into something just lighter but longer. So I'll go for a long walk, maybe like an hour and a half, 2 hour walk along the coast or something, instead of like a hard training session where you break down heaps of your body, more of like a bit of a sweat out. You might go for a light jog depending on how good you are jogging, a cycle, a walk, that sort of thing.
Yes, yeah, so I'm an idiot on this one. So my strategy was, I was like, Matt, you're probably predictable. I'm like, gotta destroy yourself the day of, right? To like get as much fitness benefit as you can before you ruin it with the alcohol, right? So I come out tomorrow like even. So when I was like, one of the first times I was drinking, we're going to a music concert.
And you were what, like 28, 29 at this point?
No, I think I was like 15, 16, and I was like the shortest person in this music concert, right? So I used to go to like a lot of music concerts and like whatever, big day out and shit, and then I just got so over it because I'm like the same height as everyone's armpits.
Yeah, yeah.
It's disgusting,
sucks. Yeah,
right?
It's terrible.
Can't see anything.
Nah, awful.
I remember like once there was like filming, like they put the big day out on TV later, everyone's like, oh, there I am, there, where are you, Raph? I'm like, no, you can't see me, guys. I'm like the person dying at the front.
Fuck.
So I was like, hey, I'm gonna do this like crap. I'm looking for the biggest leg session I can find online. I find it on bodybuilding.com. It's like giant set, right? And it's like, so it was like squats. It was like squats till failure. Then you superset with like leg extension to failure, hamstring to failure, calves to failure. And you just do every one to failure. And you go through like five or six times, right? Every set to failure. Stupid fucking giant set.
Yeah.
So I do it. I'm like, okay, get through it, whatever. And then we start drinking and going out. And then literally halfway through the night, because, you know, I train in the morning. So by midnight, it's like been a long time since you trained.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't stand up.
Yeah.
Doms are so bad. I could not. People are like, oh, how drunk are you? I'm like, no, I'm not drunk. I just started drinking and the dehydration has got me. And like, I literally cannot use my legs.
It's got me.
Someone just ordered me a taxi home. So that changed my mind. And I realized it's stupid to kill yourself the day of.
So stupid. And then in terms of training hungover, I think same sort of thing. I don't think you want to stress your body too hard. It's still recovering.
Neither day are good days to train.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to do some like light recovery stuff if you can. Yeah. Don't be like, no, I train early and I cut my sleep short and I go and do a high intensity training session. Nah, bro. I think you got to set your day up well when you're hungover with like some movement and some sunlight and some go for a swim.
Usually, I've found pretty good to train by like the afternoon.
Yeah.
Feel good. You know, rehydrate really well, get sunshine, feel good. You start to bounce back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you can even, like, I think because the problem is if you start on the couch, you don't get off the couch. And then if you can get out of bed and go for a bit of a walk, get some sunlight, that sort of thing, maybe do a couple push-ups or whatever, just something so you feel like not a piece of shit the whole day, then yeah, the next day you won't feel like a bag of dicks. You'll have recovered more.
Okay, last question on here. Meg Haltera, she says, I'm a bit late, maybe for a future after show. That is now. Curious to hear your thoughts on 75 hard or similar challenges, I guess. So I have Googled this challenge.
Oh, is this the one by Andy Frisella?
Yes, because he's all over it here on the images. But yeah. I think this is right. This is what the cosmopolitan.com article says.
Oh, yeah. Super trustworthy news source.
Okay, let's see if I can find something slightly better. Okay, no. This one's an image, and it's got a picture of him on the image.
Yeah.
So
I think this is the Andy Frisella one.
Oh, okay, it's the same. Cosmopolitan had it right.
Okay.
Okay, number one. Follow a diet, zero cheat meals every day.
For 75 days.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, you're right. It's 75 days.
Yeah.
I thought it was 75 things to do. I was like, oh my goodness. 75 days. Follow a diet. Okay, cool. So you follow a diet. Second one, work out twice a day for at least 45 minutes. One has to be outside. Oh, that's a good rule. That is a good rule. So one of the workouts has to be outside. Really good for COVID.
Yeah.
Number three, drink a gallon of water, which is, I think it's like 3.5 liters.
Yeah, just over 3 liters. Yeah.
It's quite a lot. Read 10 pages of a nonfiction entrepreneur book. Take a progress pic every single day.
Yeah. For 75 days.
Yeah.
Without fail. Yeah, I've heard him talk about this and had a friend of mine who loves Andy Frisella go through
it. I'm just absorbing how hard this is. Oh, yeah. Someone's done it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But so the thing is, or how he promotes it is like, and he does it himself because he's like not in crazy shape. Like he's not super jacked or anything. He's quite a normal guy when it comes to like, I guess, ability.
Yeah, he's not like a fitness influencer.
Yeah, exactly. But he's a badass in terms of like what he's done with his business and stuff. And he used to be super overweight. But for him, what the real benefits is, or what he says the benefits is it's not, you're not really going to completely change your life. Maybe for some people with those things. Instead, what you're going to do
is... Well, probably depends where you start. If you work out twice a week, this is big.
Yeah, yeah. But I think for him, he's like, really what you're doing is you're just being super fucking disciplined for 75 days and you're showing, you're teaching yourself that no matter what the situation or what it is, that I have the discipline under any circumstance to do what makes me uncomfortable. So you just... Basically, it's a exercise in discipline. Mm. Now, what I would say to that is I basically have done 75 days of that, maybe more, without even knowing it. So for me, it's not really 75 hard. So instead, what I would have to do is actually find whatever 5 or 6 things that are super challenging, because exercise and reading and drinking water, that's all easy stuff for me. That's stuff that we do every day. So instead, what is it that's something? Because I was having this discussion with him. He's like, yeah, you should do it. I'm like, dude, it's not a challenge for me. It's not going to get the benefits that Andy talks about. So instead, it would be something that you and I would have to do, because I assume that for
man,
someone
starting
this... I
reckon this is harder than you think. I know what you're saying. Like, it's definitely easier for me, I reckon, than a new client at my
gym,
right?
Yeah, look, I'm not saying piece of cake, but I'm just saying it's going to be...
zero deviation from a diet for 75 days is a challenge, and the outside of the second workout is a challenge. Because you got to find your time every single day.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And look, you might keep that in there, but like water's like easy.
Yeah, water's easy.
Yeah.
The photo seems
easy. Reading is easy. The progress pick is easy, you know? But I'm trying to make it...
It's the not missing, I guess, that's hard.
I think it's the... I'm thinking about it from someone that's starting this that hasn't got any of this. Is not doing any of this at the moment, right? So every single thing for 75 days, it's hard. So I want to make that relative effort hard. I don't want to be like, yeah, dude, I did 75 hard. And someone else did it and they're like, dude, that changed my life. I don't want to just have the 75 hard badge if it didn't change my life in some way. So I would do things that I know would be more challenging for me. Not impossible, but relative to someone that's not citing any of those things. So it might be like, I don't know, 40 pages of a book, for example. Yeah. And then it might be, I don't know, instead of not deviating from a diet, it might be a macros instead. Macros might be way harder, you know, to hit 200... Yeah. 100, 300, you know, protein, fat, carb sort of thing. And then maybe it's something that's not related to any of those things. It might be meditating, for example, you know, or it might be going for a swim, or it might be going in the ocean or something like that. Just things that I think are a little bit more difficult than that, but it's supposed to be an exercise in discipline. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, looking at it, it's of the ones I've seen, it's probably one of the best ones I've seen because the day is still sensible.
Yeah.
That's what I really like about it. It's a sensible day.
Yeah.
But what I see the challenge
not the
in this,
David Goggins challenge.
No. I don't know. There's some shit. Yeah, like running a marathon every day. It's like not for people.
Or going to bed at the same time every day. Mm. Go to bed before 9.
It's really just like everything on this is super cheap. If you did one day of this and you told me, I wouldn't be that impressed.
Mm.
You know, one day. But if you did it 75 days in a row, you didn't miss a single day. That's like... And you get it's 2.5 months. That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
That's like a lot. I'm like, wow, that's like taking me all the way.
January, February, almost March.
To March right now. Yeah. And I haven't slipped up on any one of these things for a single day. Because everyone has bad days.
Sure.
When you don't work out at all, right? Yeah. And you've gone 2 days and one has to be outside. And I'm assuming some of these days are pouring with rain and stuff like that. Right?
Yeah.
So you have to be outside.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot easier to be outside in Australia than it is in like Alaska.
Yeah, it's a pretty sick challenge. And you could do this around a full-time job and everything.
Yeah.
But it'd be a challenge.
Yeah. No, I think that's the point. All right, cool. Well, so before we jump into our Netflix review, of course, when we sit in offices all day, when we're exposed to screens for 10 plus hours a day, that is the average time the average American spends on screens. But that's laptop, that's phone, that's TV. We're taking in a light source that is not balanced. It doesn't have the full spectrum that our brain and our eyes need to essentially keep our bodies in sync with the sun, keep us at optimal health. Light is so critical to optimal health. And if you are in an environment every single day where you're sitting in front of screens, you're in an office, you're surrounded by artificial light, including the lights in the ceiling, right? Including the fluoros, whatever the high bays that you're in, you need to be protecting your eyes with daytime blue light blockers from Blue Blocks. So BLU, BLOX is the company. You guys have heard it before. But if you haven't, definitely check out the website. So the daytime ones, they're clear. There's like maybe a tiny orange tinge you can see. But also you can get the nighttime ones as well, which block 100% of blue light. So if you're coupling those two things together, daytime blue light blocking and nighttime blue light blocking, you will dramatically improve not only just your sleep, but a lot of your health.
Eye health in particular. But you also feel better.
Less migraines, less groggy, more focus. Definitely check it out. So, blueblocks.com, BLUBLOX.com. Our code is MMP when you check out. It's going to get you 15% off, and they ship all over the world. So, no matter where you are listening to this, you can get yourself a pair of Blue Blocks. Okay.
Okay, last part of the show, we have a review on Netflix. We watched Death of 2020. It is one episode. What do you call this thing? It's a comedy.
Yeah, it's like satire.
Yeah. It's like a satire. They're making fun of the previous year we just had.
Yeah.
But it came out the end of the year. So I guess they didn't really take into account the last couple of weeks of the year.
Yeah.
But they get the big things in there.
Yeah, yeah. I, because it's got Samuel L. Jackson, it's got some other famous actors and stuff narrating through it. Look,
it was created by the Black Mirror people.
Yes, yeah. I think the way they tried to script it in the joke section of it and like the comedy they tried to sprinkle into it, honestly, it was cringy. It did my head in. I was not enjoying it. But putting that aside, I actually just enjoyed reviewing all the shit that had gone down through the year. Like just some place that had compiled all the events because you forget so many of them and all the stuff that went down. So I think the jokes were awful and the scripting was awful. But it was a good mashup of all the different events and the highlights of the different events.
Yeah, the jokes just weren't that funny.
I didn't laugh once.
Yeah. There was a few jokes and I was like, oh, it's like kind of funny. But
that's not a joke.
It just wasn't that funny. And it was like, and there was a lot of jokes in there.
Oh, constantly.
Like every 3 seconds.
Yeah, constantly. Yeah, they just were bad. It's very American jokes. That's not my sense of humor.
So, yeah, it wasn't that funny. But yeah, I agree. And they should have one of these every year because it actually was kind of cool going through the whole year. I like forgot about the bushfires.
Yeah.
We started it back again at the bushfires.
Yeah.
And I think it had like their, you know, it definitely had like their particular angle or agenda on the year as well.
What do you think that was?
Well, like, I mean, just had like a Netflix view on,
right,
on like, on how the world played out, like, and who they thought were the idiots of the year.
And,
you know, it was definitely like not like something super perfect, well-rounded view on it, right? They had like their agenda that came across pretty strong.
I think they had a little stab at, is it Gretchen Hindelberg or whatever, the environmentalist girl?
Yeah, but I noticed that the people that they loved, the stabs were so weak.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't like South Park that truly destroys everybody. Yeah, yeah. It was like so weak at the people they liked and so strong at the people they didn't like.
Yeah, which is what every creator will generally do.
So, because of that reason and the fact that it just wasn't very funny, I probably couldn't give it any more than a 2.5 out of 5. Yeah. But it kind of was still decent to see.
I'm giving it a 2. Yeah. I would not. Honestly, take it or leave it. If you've got a good memory, then you remember the events of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... check it out. Death of 2020 on Netflix.
Death 2020.
Actually, maybe don't check it out. But anyway, next week, guys, of course, good progress at Locker Room. Everything's ticking along nicely there. Keep an eye on our social media, Raf and I on Instagram, because we're posting about it as we make progress. we're hoping we open sometime next month, early next month. So, yeah, on track for that. But, yeah, guys, remember, check out the programs, themymuscleproject.com/programs if you're looking to start a new training program in the new year, and you can get all that stuff there. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I'll speak to you all next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.